Our scripture reading from 1 Corinthians concludes with these words of Paul. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Now, Paul writes these words in response to the question that has been pondered by every poet, as well as every person who has walked the face of this earth. And that question is, what happens to us when we die? Anyone who has observed a death or stood in front of a casket has wondered about the deceased. Where are they now? And they also wonder, what will happen to me when my time comes? And any child that has lost a pet has asked this question as they struggle with the experience of death and loss. And just so you know, for the record, dogs, all dogs do go to heaven. Cats, that's another issue entirely. The Apostle Paul established the Christian congregation in the city of Corinth. And when his work there was done, he left Corinth and moved on to his next mission opportunity. However, he continued to keep in touch with the members of that congregation through letters and by word of mouth. In Paul's absence, that church experienced a great deal of internal conflict. And they appealed to Paul to help them settle these issues that were plaguing them. And one of the most pressing of these issues concerned the notion of Christian resurrection. The idea of resurrection was at odds with the larger culture, and the Christians in Corinth had a difficult time explaining resurrection to non-Christians. To be honest, they also had a hard time accepting the idea themselves. This concept of resurrection to them was simply too icky to contemplate. And it was icky, and that is a technical term. It was icky because people in that day suffered from poor health and disease. 50% of children did not make it to their 10th birthday. People routinely died from simple infections. Most disease was untreatable. Many people grappled with hunger and with malnutrition. In short, people suffered. And for Christians to preach that they were promised a bodily resurrection to eternal life, well, that just wasn't all that appealing. Because who would want to live forever in a damaged, aching, broken down body? If one were to, say, die from a falling stone that crushed their leg, would they want to endure eternity with that same battered leg and bad eyesight and rotten teeth and kidney stones? When Paul preaches about the bodily resurrection, people balked. They wanted something better. The 15th chapter of Paul's letter to the Corinthians addresses this concept of resurrection. And Paul begins this section with a reminder of his core teaching. Christ died for our sins. Christ was buried. Christ was raised on the third day, and then he appeared to his followers, including Paul himself. Paul argues in this letter that if the people claim that Christ is raised, then they cannot deny the resurrection. You can't have one without the other. If there is no resurrection, then Christ has not been raised. In our faith, the resurrection is non-negotiable. If Christ has not been raised, then, as Paul writes, faith is futile. However, Paul reminds us that Christ is raised, and so we do believe in the resurrection. Paul then addresses the questions the Corinthians had been asking him. Specifically, they want to know, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? In other words, they want to know how this resurrection thing works. And after resurrection, what happens to us? What will we be like? And that is where we find ourselves in this reading for today, with those two questions. Now, Paul, kind of typical of Paul, he doesn't exhibit a whole lot of patience with these questions, because in response to these questions, he calls the people fools for even asking them. After all, the answer should be obvious, shouldn't it? But as an answer to their questions, he offers them the analogy of the seeds. Consider a seed, he said. Maybe he talked about a seed of wheat. Corn works just as well. And what you have is just a bare seed. Nothing about it. But plant it in the ground, give it some water, some warmth, some sunshine, and what happens? It grows. However, to grow into something new, a plant, the seed itself must die. The old seed is lost forever, and something new emerges from it. And unless that seed dies, it will not transform into something new. Paul then tells the Corinthians that their bodies are like these seeds. The old body must die for the new body to grow. And it is God, and God alone, who determines what the new bodies will be like. Each new body is different, just as each of us is different. And what sets these new bodies apart from the old is that the old bodies are perishable. They have a shelf life. The newly raised bodies, they are imperishable. They are eternal. The old bodies, they are imperfect. They are dishonorable, weak, and physical. The raised bodies, they are raised in glory, in power. They are spiritual. The people in Corinth had every right to ask these questions. Their resurrected selves will be real, but will be different from the bodies that they know now. At this point in the letter, Paul shifts gears slightly and he makes a comparison between Christ and Adam. And if you've studied Paul's letter to the Romans, as I know many of you have, you will be familiar with this line of thought. Adam, the first person, as Paul calls him, represents our present physical world. Paul calls him the first Adam. Paul considers Jesus then to be the last Adam. Adam represents mortality, and in Jesus we find eternity. The first Adam was from the earth. He was a man of dust. The second Adam is from heaven. And we are descendants of the man of dust. But it is Christ that calls us toward heaven. Paul concludes this portion of his letter with that verse that I quoted at the beginning. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. In other words, our earthly bodies are not meant to inhabit God's kingdom. Something different is required. We must shed these bodies which are imperfect, which are dishonorable, weak, and physical. Paul's discussion of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians is in response to specific questions from the people. However, it's really part of a much larger conversation about who we are as Christians. The real issue is not about death and dying. The real issue is living. How do we as Christians choose to live. Unless we live lives that are centered on Christ, then any talk of the resurrection is futile. In our daily lives, what kind of seeds are we planting? Are we planting thorns and weeds? Are we seeking to plant something more desirable, more holy? How we live now reflects on our life eternal. In these bodies, we cannot enter into God's kingdom. But a resurrected body is not by itself a key to the kingdom. The real key is how do we live our daily lives? Do we live our daily lives with God's word guiding our hearts? Do we live as disciples of Christ? Do we follow God's commandments? Do we shape our lives around the words of Jesus? For example, the words of Jesus that we find in Luke's gospel, where Jesus says, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. Do to others as you would have them do to you." Are words like these the ones that shape our daily lives? The kingdom of God, where is it? Well, it's not here. It is something that is to come. And yet, if we live authentic Christian lives, then even here on this earth, in these bodies, we can begin to taste God's kingdom here and now. We don't enter it, but we get a feel for what it is like, the taste of the kingdom. And that itself is life. That is the resurrection. Amen.